Our gospel lesson for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. And I do invite you to rise if you are able for the reading of the gospel. After Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he put on his robe and he returned to the table. And he said this to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. For that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also should you wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This morning we find ourselves halfway through our sermon series entitled Put Your Whole Selves In, where we're looking at how we live as faithfully as possible in all aspects of our lives. We opened our series talking about putting our whole selves into our prayer life, and how our relationship with God deepens and strengthens as we are in conversation through prayer. Mindful not just to talk at God, but to listen. Listen for God's desires in our lives and the world around us. Last week we focused on our presence and how when we show up, not just in body, but also in mind and heart and spirit, when we show up to participate in the life of the church through worship and small groups, we open ourselves to the opportunity for growth, to be challenged among the community, to be inspired by one another, and growing together in ways that we couldn't do by ourselves. We talked about Christianity being a team sport, something that we have to do in community as the body of Christ together. Now, we had our first word cloud about our prayer, our dreams for how we want to grow into our prayer life last week, and that was in the shape of a U. This week, we have our second word cloud, our presence dreams, and that's in the shape of an M for U-M, and then we'll have C-R-B, U-M-C-R-B. Haha. So make sure you take some time in Fellowship Hall. It'll be going right over to Fellowship Hall. And get some ideas and inspiration for how others might be dreaming about growing in their presence and how they support the church through their presence. I know there's different ideas on there about participating in new small groups or a Bible study or a book study. Becoming more spiritually involved about, you know, not just showing up in body, but being more present and applying the lessons they learn in worship and in small groups actually to their own faith life. So there's a variety of different things there, and I really do invite you to be inspired by it. This week, our focus shifts to service. Our active giving back to the community and God's mission in the world. How God chooses and empowers us to accomplish the transformation of the world. Us, ordinary people who are equipped to do extraordinary things by God's working in and through us. Through our service, we become agents of God's love to a hurting world. In our first scripture that Tiffany read for us today, we heard how the Holy Spirit pours gifts out among the followers of Christ, and how our uniqueness, our individuality, and gifts and talents are needed to build up a unified body. We heard that some are given the gifts to be teachers and others prophets and evangelists and different gifts and skill sets. Maybe some that you see in yourself. Would you call yourself a teacher? Would you call yourself a prophet, but that's one that most people don't call themselves. It's not a bad thing to be a prophet. As we talk today, I'm going to invite you to reflect on your gifts. Apply it to yourself. What gifts has God uniquely gifted within you? What passions does God light the fire of? Areas of interest and talents and skills, some that we grow and develop through practice and training, but others that seem to naturally well up within us. They seem to almost be our default, simply the way we live in the world. We're naturally great hospitality people, or we're just really good at reaching out and caring or writing cards. Oh my goodness, that's a spiritual gift, I tell you. I really do invite you to reflect as we talk through our sermon and as you hopefully continue to have conversations with others as the week goes on. Sometimes people don't even realize what their own spiritual gifts are. I've done spiritual gifts inventories with different groups, and before I have people take the inventory, I always ask them to guess what their own gifts are. Sometimes they're self-aware enough to do that, but always people, well, not always, but usually people are like, no, don't make me do it. People don't like self-identifying their own gifts. So I ask them to ask their friends and maybe a sibling or a parent or child or a spouse or friend, and to have other people claim your gifts for you. More often than not, the look of, really? You see that gift in me? And then when people take the assessment, what do you know? Those are more often than not the gifts that come up in their assessment. There was an attorney, a lifelong Methodist, who was an active member in a church that was invited to take a spiritual gifts inventory. When he did his assessment, it revealed his primary gift was the gift of administration. I heard one giggle. He'd really hoped for a more exciting gift. So he took the assessment again, and he got the same thing. And then he looked for a different assessment and used that and still got administration. He was pretty frustrated and a little disappointed to have what he perceived as a boring gift. And then he led a mission team to South Africa. He discovered that he was the only team member who could keep all of the details together, make all of the connections, and be sure that each of the pieces fit together. He realized that without his gift, the rest of the team members would have been lost and confused. Without his gift, their gifts would not have been able to function. Even the gifts we don't think we want, or that aren't as flashy and well-known as others, like charisma. Yeah, that's a fun gift to have, but oh my goodness, all of them are necessary for the church, for the body of Christ to function effectively in ministry to the world. Just because we don't think they're as flashy as others doesn't mean they are not as valuable to God. All gifts are necessary. All gifts are needed for our church to work efficiently and effectively. The gospel lesson we heard read today talked about how Jesus was willing to get his hands dirty as he served his disciples by washing their feet. Now, picture how dirty his hands probably got. His disciples and he wore sandals and they walked around on dirt roads, but he got down there, a job that most hospitality people would have their servant do, or not even do themselves, or have, you know, you do it yourself. I'll give you the bowl, I'll give you the towel, and you wash your own feet, because I'm just not going there. But Jesus got down and he washed their feet. He shocked his disciples. They were blown away by his willingness to serve him in that way. The example that Jesus set there and his closing line, as I have done for you, so you shall do for others, reminds us of our calling to serve, to get our hands dirty, and to use our gifts and talents, our time and our heart to serve others. If we want to experience the life that God intends for us, there comes a point where we have to shift from receiving the grace of God to pouring it back out, to being a channel of God's grace to others, when we have to offer that to the world around us in service and become participants in God's transformation of the world. Through our baptism, we are commissioned to use our gifts to continue the servant ministry of Jesus. Each disciple has a role in the body of Christ. Every disciple, yes, that means you, is called and gifted and needed in the ministry of the church. Frederick Buechner, an American writer and theologian, wrote about how we are called to serve God in his book, Wishful Thinking. He referred to our calling as a vocation, that area of service where God draws us, almost magnetically. He said that there are all different kinds of voices calling you, and all different kinds of work. And the problem is, the challenge that we have to face is trying to figure out which voice to listen to, that of God or that of society, or say the super ego or self-interest. By and large, a good rule for finding this out, Buechner says, is to look for two different criteria. A, that you really need to do that task. You need to, just in your gut. And B, that it's what God really needs you to do too. If you get a kick out of your work and you find joy in it, you love going to work and have a great time doing it, but say you're making cigarette ads for marketing purposes, you may not reach that second goal. But say on the other hand, you're being a doctor at a leper colony. You certainly are reaching that second goal, but if you are bored and or depressed by your work, it doesn't reach that first criteria of finding joy and deep need to do it. Buechner writes, and these are definitely his words, not mine, neither the hair shirt nor the soft berth will do. You can't go one way or the other. It's got to be in that sweet spot. The place where God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I love that phrase, and I've used it a lot, where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I think I used that in Bible study this past week, and Barb Spencer was like, yeah, that'd be fabulous if that happened all the time. We're part of a church here in Red Bank with many different places to plug in to service ministry, mission, and outreach within our community. We are active in serving our community through the backpack crew, sending home food every single weekend to children who might not otherwise have a meal between Friday afternoon and Monday morning. We are active in our community's feeding ministry through lunch break, through preparing meals for the AIDS Center in Asbury Park, through the hospitality ministry of Family Promise, through Crop Walk, and many, many more organizations that work on the transformation of lives. There are so many different places to connect, to put your gifts and talents into action. The question is, where does your deep gladness meet the deep need of the world? What would bring you the most joy as you serve God and others? Might you want to think about serving on the next ASP mission trip? Or join in the next time we serve breakfast at lunch break? Or bring food with you the next time you come into the building, or maybe even every time you come into the building, and leave it in the grocery cart in the front hallway, back hallway, that hallway. Where is God calling you to serve? And not just through the church, but in your everyday lives. What are the gifts that God has made in you that you need to put to work? That you, in your gut, you're just itching, whether you realize it or not, to serve.